I'm your host, Chris Carter, and you're listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, we're talking about some new updates with the Steelers, one being Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro pulling out of the Pro Bowl, but David DeCastro pulling out for a very specific reason that may tie into his play in 2020. We'll get into that a bit. We'll also make up for not doing Mock Draft Monday yesterday and get into what the latest mock draft on the Draft Network with Joe Marino had going to both the Dolphins slot where the Steelers picked would have picked in the first round for the pick they gave away for Minkah Fitzpatrick, as well as their pick in the second round. We'll get into that and more right now. All right, everybody, it's Tuesday. Hope everyone enjoyed their Martin Luther King Day. Maybe you got some time off. Maybe you volunteered a little bit. All that's fine and dandy. We're all back to work. It's Tuesday. But I'm going to help you guys get through it with talking off some Steelers news. Let's get into it. First off, like I said, we're going to lead off with what I guess is, you know, it's kind of slim pickings on Steelers stories, but there is one that has been floating around out there. I didn't talk about it going into the weekend because it kind of happened over the weekend, but there was a report on David DeCastro, and David DeCastro was reported by Charles Robinson of Yahoo saying that David DeCastro had ankle surgery last week, and he was told that this is why David DeCastro was pulled out of the Pro Bowl. And from what he understands, the surgery went as well as he could expect, and this will mean that he won't miss any extended time in the offseason program. So what does that mean for the Steelers? Well, a few things. Let's talk about that. Because moving forward, I mean, that's a good sign. David DeCastro's back, should be back, shouldn't be any hitches, no problems. You know, if something's lingering going into training camp, they can still just rest him and kind of get him back whenever he's ready. And also, with the prospect of a Hall of Fame game, you're probably going to have an extra week of practice anyways going into it for the Steelers, or actually a couple weeks of practice, because they'll be playing 5 preseason games. The Steelers know how to manage their guys. They're not going to overwork David DeCastro. He's a longtime veteran. They respect the heck out of that guy, and they know what he brings to the table. So there's nothing impacting the future, I think, with this story and how it's portrayed. But there is something that I think needs to be talked about with how the season whittled down. We were wondering, where was the Steelers' offensive line in those last 3 or 4 games? The Steelers went up 8-5 and dropped their last 3. And, you know, it's kind of overblown when people say, oh, they choked. Like, guys, if you think they choked, they really weren't supposed to be 8-5 in the first place. They overplayed to get there. And, you know, when you got Devlin Hodges at quarterback and all the stuff that they were going through, it was a miracle that they got there in the first place. But the reality is that they needed their offensive line to be the best part of the offense and to lead the way. And you saw times where Marquise Pouncey wasn't at his best. He had some bad snaps. You saw David DeCastro also getting blown up at the wrong times with the Bills and the Jets and even the Ravens at times. And it, you know, it's kind of, you kind of have to wonder how far back does that ankle injury go? If it does go back a ways, maybe it explains why David DeCastro wasn't his normal dominant self. Early on in the season, the Steelers were very good at protecting the quarterback. They were buying time for even Devlin Hodges and Mason Rudolph in their first few games. But you'd say right around that midseason point when they got to the Rams game, that's when you started to see it start to unravel. Now, granted, the Rams have Aaron Donald. That's no surprise. They have a very dominant front four. But then you saw as it wore on, they started to still give up more sacks, not dominate at least the ground game. This is the same offensive line that blew up the Patriots last year for 142 yards with Jalen Samuels, and they just weren't able to do that this year. Now, granted, they had Ben Roethlisberger calling the plays, or at least checking into and out of things at the line of scrimmage. They also had his arm to scare defenses back. They didn't have that this year, so teams were able to overload. But still, you need David DeCastro to be at his best. He's one of the best in the league. He's an all-pro guard again. And so I think him being back will be a very good sign for the season moving forward, especially with what I was talking about yesterday. And that was with the path that some teams are starting to go with the playoffs. You see teams running the ball more. And I think you're going to see more and more teams try to run the ball successfully. The Steelers are going to need to do that in 2020. Ben Roethlisberger, even if he's back at full strength, even if he's back at what he was in 2017 and 18, you're still I don't think it would be wise to just say, hey, we're gonna sling it, because he still doesn't have Antonio Brown. You're still got a very young receivers core. I think this needs to be a power run type of offense that has a balanced attack that sort of says, hey, we will run the ball consistently, but we also do have a threat of a passing game that should scare you, because we have different threats at wide receiver and Vance McDonald at tight end, and maybe another guy that they draft in 2020. We'll get into who Joe Marino of the Draft Network had selected in a bit in another segment, but I wanted to talk about this because to me, the Steelers' offensive line needs to be the most improved part of the team next year, and running back too. That's important, and quarterback and all that. But as far as, like, you know, we know that the quarterback will be improved because Ben Roethlisberger will be back on the field. You know, running backs do need to take a step up. But you look at how that Niners game worked out against the Packers. Raheem Mostert wasn't making a bunch of people miss in the backfield. He wasn't Le'Veon Bell, is just kind of working his way to the line, making five people miss, and then getting 6 or 7 yards. He was running through gaping holes. He had all the space, all the time, every opportunity to get loose and kind of just pick up momentum and run. Those are those type of games where Jalen Samuels would have had a field day, and people would have been saying, wow, look at that guy, maybe he's the man. The Niners offensive line dominated the Packers, and part of that is because the Packers defense has been overrated for most of the season. They're one of those teams that I think that they specialize. They went out and got faster. They got smaller guys, but quicker guys that can cover in the middle of the field, and they got decent edge rushers that can collapse the pocket and rush the passer. But you got to stop the run. That's always and forever going to be a major point of the NFL. And I think that the teams that don't lose sight of that, those are the teams with the franchises that you'll see consistently around. I think that's the reason the Steelers have stayed in that conversation. Even when they've had their down years, they've been 8-8, or they've missed the playoffs for 2 straight years. They were 8-8 this year, 9-6-1 the year before. But one thing that the Steelers have always said they had to emphasize was stopping the run before anything else. And even if they weren't great at it, they at least made efforts to address it. When Ryan Shazier was around with Vince Williams, they were pretty good at it together. It took some time, but they kind of gelled together. But then when you saw Shazier out, they had to figure out some answers. That's why they went and got John Bostic. Bostic was never supposed to cover. His main job was to help stop the run, which initially he did very good at. And when Pro Bowl voting opened in the first couple weeks, he was one of the leading vote getters of inside linebackers, because Steelers fans were just so crazed for anybody that could tackle in the middle of the field, and they were happy that with the tackles that he was making. But then as soon as teams said, aha, we can throw at that guy, that's when the problem came. And the Steelers didn't have a covered linebacker like they do now in Devin Bush that they could say, hey, you can try to target the middle of the field, but this is the guy that's going to cover. That guy that we have tackling, he's still going to be tackling, and if you're passing, he's probably going to blitz. And that guy for the team moving forward is Vince Williams. I've been talking about that. I think Vince Williams is highly undervalued by a lot of people. But I say all that to say, running the ball and stopping the run is still such a huge part of this game. And you're going to hear me say that a bunch this offseason, because a lot of people are talking about big plays, passing offense, cornerbacks. When, you know, people are going to get really thirsty for these supreme playmakers outside and everything. I think the Steelers need to get back to running the football next year, dominating the trenches, and that will be a big sign. That's why it's huge that David DeCastro, at least this report says, he'll be all right. We're going to take a quick break, be right back, and we're going to get into some mock drafts. Everyone's always talking about physical fitness, but there's another side to the game that's just as important, and that's mental fitness. That brings us Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, which is now teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron James and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in the body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, and I quote, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind." Well, with Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership to calm.com/lockedon. That's right, go to Calm, calm.com/lockedon. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedon. That's calm.com/lockedon. All right, let's get back to it, guys. Let's go into what I forgot to do yesterday was the mock draft Monday. I was so caught up with the conference championships and everything else going on that I neglected to address this. We have mock draft Mondays. That'll be a regular feature here going into the draft, partnering with the Draft Network and Joe Marino. Now, as you all know, the Steelers do not have a pick in the first round. They traded it away for Minkah Fitzpatrick. So we'll talk about the pick that he had. He did a 2-round draft. That was very nice of Joe. Very good writer. Like reading the guy's stuff. He did 2 rounds, so we do get to see who he had the Steelers selecting at 49. But let's back up real quick. Let's get into the first round. First round, interesting selection to start it off. He has Joe Burrow, who you expect to fly off the board for the Bengals. He has Chase Young going to Washington, Jeffrey Okuda going to the Lions, and the Dolphins at 5 getting Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert being selected right after that by the Chargers. So 3 quarterbacks flying off the board in the first 3 picks. Now, we're going to debate this a lot more during this offseason. I'm going to have some polls. We're going to have some fun with this. But the Steelers' top needs right now, right? They've got to be running back, offensive line. If you don't sign Bud Dupree, edge rusher jumps right up there with those groups. Depth at safety, maybe depth at inside linebacker, tight end. Those are, and backup quarterback as well. Those are all top concerns for the Steelers. But the Steelers aren't going to be selecting any quarterbacks that are among that top of the class. So the more quarterbacks that get picked early, the better. Because every time, and I always look at this, every time you see a position that has a rush on it, that means other positions are being ignored, and you hope those other positions are things that you can fill, because then you can get them. The other class that you're going to see highly touted this year is the wide receiver class. If I was listening to Mel Kiper and Todd McShay on their first draft podcast, and Todd McShay has 7 receivers possibly getting selected in this year's first round, which would be the most in NFL history. I think the most right now is currently 6, and I believe that was the 2014 class. I don't remember entirely, but 6 in 6 picks, half of them would be quarterbacks, according to Joe Marino's latest 2020 mock draft. You got Andrew Thomas going to the Panthers, an offensive tackle, and this is when Joe Marino has the offensive lineman flying off the board. Andrew Thomas, tackled from Georgia, gone to the Panthers. Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, gone to the Cardinals. Already had Jedrick Wills being the first lineman off the board. Jedrick Wills absolutely should be the first lineman. He's a tackle from Alabama. He's a bad man. Him going there makes a lot of sense. So now in the first 8 picks, you get 3 offensive linemen gone. The Jaguars getting inside defensive lineman Derek Brown from Auburn. I don't know about that, because they need a lot of things. They need to re-up their secondary again. But Browns getting with the 10th overall pick, getting linebacker from Clemson, Isaiah Simmons. Jerry Jeudy, the first receiver off the board, goes to the Jets at 11. You got Christian Fulton from LSU to the Raiders at 12. Colts getting CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma, wide receiver. Buccaneers getting Mekhi Becton. And it's interesting, Mekhi Becton, offensive tackle, he'd be the 4th off the board in 14 picks. But Mekhi Becton's a guy that during the season, some people were suggesting, maybe he's a 2nd-round pick. Maybe he's going to be this. Maybe. But I think everyone's kind of caught up with watching the tape of this season. Oh, no, he deserves to be 1st-round. Henry Ruggs, the 3rd. And this is what I'm saying. You're seeing receivers fly off the board. The Broncos picking Henry Ruggs, the 3rd, Alabama wide receiver, at 15. We're going to skip down a bit. They have Grant Delpit going to the Cowboys at 17. Grant Delpit really fell off this season. Coming into this season, he was a top five pick, and now they have him listed as a 17th in the mock draft. Of course, none of this means it's going to happen. It's just interesting to see where the people talking are moving guys around. And that leads us to number 18, where the Dolphins would pick, and this would be their second pick of the first round because they already had the fifth pick, which is their pick, their natural pick. So they come in, they have them selecting a guy that I've talked a little bit about in Kalaven Chasen. Kalaven Chasen is an edge rusher from LSU. He's a tall, skinny guy. He's not going to say skinny. He's not skinny, but he's thin. He's thinner of an edge rusher, but he's extremely athletic. He's really explosive. He can change direction really quickly. He has good use of hands. He's kind of a Bud Dupree in some ways. I wouldn't say exactly, but the athletic profile, the ability to explode off the ball, off the line. I'd say that also for where he is compared to where Bud Dupree was when he was coming out of college, he's a lot further along in the technique part of the game. Bud Dupree needed to work on a lot to get to where he is today with amassing 11.5 sacks this past season. Chasen would be a guy that I think if the Steelers had that pick and they desperately needed an edge rusher to replace Bud Dupree, Chasen would be one of the guys that I was targeting. I was actually looking at him during the season to see, hey, let's see where this guy fits into. But a lot of people are also hyping him up, so he's obviously flying to the top of more people's big boards. Always interesting to see how that works out. But first question we have to ask: is that pick better than Minkah Fitzpatrick? Right now, I think not. Unless Chasen goes on to become Von Miller and Minkah Fitzpatrick doesn't continue to do what he's doing, I think the Steelers would still win out on that trade. But that being said, let's move further down the line. Look at the rest of Marino's picks. I encourage you, go to the Draft Network right now. He's the latest mock draft. This is his mock draft 5.0. Other interesting picks: T. Higgins, a wide receiver, from Clemson, would go to the Eagles. Another wide receiver, Laviska Shenault. I forget how to pronounce this guy's name. I just looked this up too, and I completely blew it. I'm pulling a Tony, guys. Mispronouncing names, great. But the Bills would select him. Another receiver, K.J. Hamler, going to the Patriots from Penn State. Brandon Ayuk, got that one right. Remember that one, wide receiver, Arizona State. So he also has this being a heavy first round for wide receiver. But this is what I'm talking about: wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. The Steelers don't need another draft another high wide receiver. If anything, they'll be happy to draft another wide receiver in the fifth, sixth rounds later, and have it just be like an athletic prospect, like a Deion Kane type of guy. Like, hey, you know what? You're fast. We're gonna line you up outside and let you be fast. And if you turn into Martavis Bryant, great. If you turn into Sammy Coates, who cares? We picked you late. Trayvon Diggs, cornerback from Alabama, going to the Vikings. Dolphins getting Xavier McKinney. That would be interesting. Double up on Alabama picks for the Dolphins. He has the Ravens getting Yeter Gross Matos, an edge rusher from Penn State, J.K. Dobbins. There's your first running back off the board. J.K. Dobbins going to the Chiefs at 31. And this is presuming the Chiefs wouldn't win the Super Bowl, I guess. That's the first running back off the board. Now, from everything that I've seen and talked about with and read, the guy that should be number one at running back is DeAndre Swift out of Georgia. Now, Georgia just breed running backs. That's just what they do. I look at that and I say, man, if someone's passing on Swift for Dobbins, I mean, I like Dobbins. He was electric at Ohio State, and he's a bruiser. But you got to question his ability to catch out the backfield. So I think that's interesting. That was the first round. I'm going to come right back, and we're going to talk about what was picked in the second round right after these messages. All right, listen up, guys. You know you guys can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed with Blue Chew. And that's BlueChew.com and blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys.
who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. That's F-R-E-E, free. When you use our special promo code NFL, just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code NFL to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
Okay, on to the second round for Joe Marino's mock draft, and this is where it's going to be interesting because this is where the Steelers actually pick. Talking about the positions and everything. Again, remember, if you're looking at running backs, he only has one running back going off the board. I think it's a very good sign moving forward. But he has the Bengals opening off the next round by picking another wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, off of LSU. Got some more cornerbacks going off the board here. Jordan Love, Utah State, going to the Colts. That's an interesting pick. Raekwon Davis going to the Lions, an inside defensive lineman. The Dolphins going back to the two more offensive tackles. Austin Jackson from USC going to the Chargers at 37. Dolphins getting Lucas Niang out of TCU, offensive tackle, at the 39th pick. Interior offensive lineman Nick Harris from Washington going to the Cardinals at 40. Josh Jones of the going to the Browns, offensive tackle from Houston. So you see right there, he has from 37 to 41, that's five picks, four of those five picks being offensive linemen. Seems like if a lot of teams do invest in offensive line, it's going to make it really hard for the Steelers to get the stab there. That's something that Dale Lally and I have debated about at DKPittsburghSports.com. We always have our debates every year. It's the fun thing. It's like the Mel Kiper, Todd McShay thing. You know, just like, you know, I think this, I see this. I think this team will go that direction. There's sometimes he's been right. There's sometimes I've been right. There's a lot more times I've been right. But in all seriousness, I Dale and I kind of bounce off of each other a lot. It's a great partner to work with. Do check out the things he writes at DKPittsburghSports.com. We do a lot of great stuff there. But moving on, Jaguars picking Cole Kmet, tight end from Notre Dame. It's another position to keep an eye on. Is, you know, how fast do people fly off the tight end list? Thaddeus Moss being available is interesting. I don't think he's slated to be high by anyone, but if Thaddeus Moss explodes during the combine, guess what? People are going to be talking about him like they were talking about DK Metcalf. And DK Metcalf didn't go right away, but, you know, when you see that stock start to soar, people are going to be like, maybe I should take a shot on that one. Another offensive lineman going off to the Bears, Cesar Ruiz from Michigan. So that's a, you know, again, offensive line continues to play into that. Auburn's offensive tackle Prince Tega Wanogo going to the Broncos at 46. And then just before the Steelers pick, another offensive tackle, Isaiah Wilson going from Georgia, going to the Jets. So who do the Steelers pick at 49? Well, they go and get their man at running back. Joe Marino has the Steelers selecting DeAndre Swift, running back out of Georgia. That is very interesting to me. Now, Swift is, to me, the best running back of this class. I have a really hard time seeing him fall this far down the draft. But hey, if they think it's actually going to happen, I'm inclined to listen to more about that. But to give you an idea of how good DeAndre Swift is, this is a guy who, he is, when you get the ball in his hands, he, you know, everyone takes a gasp. It's like, what is he going to do now? DeAndre Swift, in my opinion, When I've seen him put moves on, when I've seen him with the ball in his hands for Georgia, he's extremely dangerous. You have to bottle him up. And he's the kind of guy the Steelers haven't had really at running back. Even with Le'Veon Bell, Le'Veon Bell is the kind of guy that he's going to create more than what's there. He can catch the ball, he can block. He was the do-everything guy. But the Steelers really didn't have a home run hitter in Le'Veon Bell. You know, he was a guy that he could score if it was there, but he wasn't going to take you for 50 yards most of the time. He just didn't have that kind of breakaway speed. DeAndre Swift, if you're going over his numbers over the years, he played for 3 years at Georgia. Didn't get a whole lot of chances in his first year in 2017, but in 2018, he had 163 carries, 1,049 yards at 6.4 yards per carry, 10 touchdowns, the longest was 83 yards. He also had 297 yards receiving with 3 touchdown receptions. In 2019, had 196 carries for 1,218 yards. That's 6.2 yards a carry, 7 rushing touchdowns. His longest was a 47-yarder. Also had 24 catches for 216 yards and a touchdown. DeAndre Swift, a guy that's really tough to bring down. He knows how to use his leverage. He knows how to use his footwork to kind of run through people and make sure that he's not going to be brought down simply with arm tackles. That's something that I've always really liked what he's been able to do. And the thing is, again, open field, what he can do with space. You know, James Conner, I think he's really good when he builds up steam and he gets a lead blocker and how he reads that. Benny Snell is a guy that can push the pile forward. He's a good dude to run people over in the tight spots. This is the thing that neither of these guys are the home run hitters. Neither of these guys are gonna make a guy miss and then be gone and be able to basically shorten up a drive because they broke off a long run. DeAndre Swift is that guy. If he's there at 49, I'm sprinting. I'm teleporting. I'm doing whatever I can. If I'm Kevin Colbert, I'm getting to that podium as fast as possible, claiming DeAndre Swift. And I guarantee you, if they do that, Steelers fans, you all should start drinking. You should start partying. That's a win, getting DeAndre Swift in the second round at 49. You know, I guarantee you there will be Swift jerseys in Pittsburgh very soon if that were to happen. He's that kind of a playmaker, and he would really add an extra dynamic back into the offense. And don't get me wrong, I like James Conner. I've enjoyed watching that guy since he was in college. I remember him dominating for Pitt and thinking like, man, that guy deserves a shot at the NFL. But his injuries have been a concern. He still hasn't had that complete season yet. I think DeAndre Swift could come in and quickly make a difference for this team, especially if their offensive line gets on point again. If Ben Roethlisberger's back and people are concerned about how Ben Roethlisberger might hurt them with his arm and Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson and James Washington. Oh, wait, there's this rookie running back, DeAndre Swift. He's going to cut us up. Oh, there he goes, 50-yard touchdown. And those kind of easy touchdowns haven't been a thing for the Steelers for a long time. I'd say really since Willie Parker. That was the advantage of having him out there, was that you could just give him the ball and watch him go. And the Steelers really could use a feature back. I know that some people are probably thinking, well, the Niners don't need a feature back. Well, Kyle Shanahan's also tried to find his feature back for a couple years now. He's very much like his father, Mike Shanahan, in that he just wants to find that feature back that he can just rely on. They've just been fortunate because they've run into opponents that can't stop the run, and their offensive line's been very good this year. But as far as DeAndre Swift, I think that his biggest thing, he's going to need to adjust to the size of the NFL. I think he bullies a lot of people in college, with his size, a lot like how TJ Watt bullied a lot of people in Wisconsin. He's going to have to learn, because sometimes he runs through tackles. There's going to be times I think he has to preserve his body a little bit more. I really think with the way that he's able to get out, make people miss, use his full speed, it could really be a game changer for the Steelers. Now, again, these are all very early. I don't want anyone to think that, oh man, this is so. I mean, it could be a great call. I said I had the Steelers picking trading up to get Devin Bush about a month or two before the draft, and people called me crazy. So I mean, you never know how early, you know, these things are. But everything changes once the combine hits. When people see those 40 times and those shuttle times and those cone times, everything changes. And we're talking about a whole new ball game. And it gets really exciting to see how people jump up and down the boards. For example, Devin Singletary had a bad 40 time last year. So people were like, ugh, don't draft Devin Singletary. And then he has a good year with the Bills. So a lot of times it just varies. But DeAndre Swift, right now, Joe Marino, he's the guy that Joe Marino has slated to pick for the Steelers. What do you think about that pick? Hit me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. And I definitely been on talk with it. Or if you want to talk about it with other Steelers fans and fans of the show Locked On Steelers, join the Facebook group Locked On Steelers, right? Just search right there. You can join. It's a public group. We all talk and have a good time. Myself and former co-host Tony Serino are part of the group. We will interact with you if you ask us questions, if we have time. What do you think about DeAndre Swift? You like the pick? You love the pick? You hate the pick? You think they should go somewhere else? Let's talk about that some more. I'll be back tomorrow talking more things about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't forget to go to dkpittsburghsports.com, where I also write, where you can sign up right now for just 99 cents for a trial run. Get you a trial month. You get to see all the things we do, the work that I do, the work that Dale Lawley does on the Steelers, the work that Dan Kovacevic does on the Steelers. We also cover the Penguins, the Pirates, and the Pitt Panthers as they're on their run for college basketball right now. Again, just 99 cents for a trial month, and if you like us, you stick with us. If not, we thank you for checking us out, but I think you'll love what we do at dkpittsburghsports.com, and if you love what we're doing right now at Locked On Steelers, please hit me with that 5-star review, leave a positive comment on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to this. Any positive rating helps. Thanks to all those for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more from Locked On Steelers.